Welcome, everyone, to the latest episode of the Here's Johnny podcast. I am your host, Larry.
And I am your other host, Justin. A rare morning recording.
Yeah, we moved to the Saturday morning. Thank you, Justin. I've been dealing with some stuff, and if my normal, joyous, boisterous attitude is not because of Lake Placid, it's because of other stuff. But I'm gonna give it the old 100% effort, as always. But Justin, I feel like I haven't talked to you much this week, which is odd. I feel like we talk a lot more. What's been up with you? What have you been doing?
I mean, I've been working a lot. Man, yeah, that's true. We haven't really talked that much this week. Shit, man.
Happy belated anniversary.
Oh, thank you. Yeah.
Even though you're not married?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, it's still our, like, anniversary.
I just know there's, like, a Canadian thing and then, like, an actual marriage. Like in Canada, you're sort of our Tim Hortons. Little Krispy Kreme or something, and then like that's like.
Oh no, we definitely celebrated with food yesterday though. I don't
poutine?
Think I'm gonna eat. No, weirdly enough, no. It's just like we went real low and got like the shittiest foods. Like we got some fucking Denny's and.
Devin loves pizza. Denny's. I've never been to one. Oh. There's like none nearby us.
Oh, there's none nearby us either. I had to drive an hour to go pick it up.
Jesus, to go pick it up.
Oh yeah, hell yeah.
So you came home with cold breakfast food?
I toss that shit in the oven. We didn't get anything that wasn't like reheatable.
Eggs?
Oh man. So the way I have my eggs from Denny's is in a grand slamwich. It's basically, I'm not going to get into it because I don't even want to think about food right now, but it's delicious.
Okay.
Yeah, I drove there to be there when they opened at 7 o'clock in the morning to order my food and pick it up and drive it home.
Okay. Wow. All right. What movies or games you've been watching, you crazy man?
I don't think I've actually. Well, obviously, I've watched Lake Placid. Other than that, I finished season 2 of Happy. Which, if you haven't seen Happy, you have to at least like watch a trailer for it or give it a shot.
What's it on?
Oh, it's on Netflix.
Okay.
It is. I can't think of his name. Oh my god, I'm completely blanking on the actors, but anyways, just watch a trailer.
Okay.
It's real good. Game-wise, I'm trying to think now, holy shit, I've been playing some Bravely Default 2, but like, barely. Basically, I send my people exploring, and then I come back in 12 hours and get all the JP up.
Where are you
and
at? All that stuff.
I just got to the second town.
Okay, I'm not much further than you. The second town lasts a while.
Oh really? I feel like I might be overpowered though because I'm like level 25.
A level 20 and I just cleared the town.
Okay, so maybe I just need to literally I send my people exploring, 12 hours later I come back.
The final boss in that area is pretty tough.
Oh damn. Yeah, I mean
but if you're level 25, time. you might be sturdy enough. It's just the jobs that are available to you don't behoove the fight type. You're about to get into it.
Yeah, I mean, I think the reason I'm such a high level already is because I got everybody to master the freelancer class before I moved on.
Smart. I didn't do that. I only did it for one of my characters. That's smart.
Yeah, because now they got like the JP up
JP
and up
up
and whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Other than that, though, I wasn't sure where to talk about this or if I even should, but one of the PR people that we deal with.
Uh-huh.
They had a monster truck game coming out. And
yes.
They were kind of promoting it, and you know, we could put our name in there for keys or whatever. And I sent them a message and say, "Hey," I said, "Hey, I'd really be interested in this, but honestly, I don't plan on reviewing it. I just kind of want to enjoy it with my son because my son doesn't play video games, but he saw a trailer for it and loves monster trucks, so he lost his damn mind." And yeah, they were like, "Oh yeah, okay, here you go. Enjoy it."
Well, maybe when you get it, maybe we can record a very quick audio thing with your son and see what he has to say about it, just to put it out there. That's really cool to do that for you.
Not only, like, he's been playing it for 2 weeks.
Oh, awesome. Well, maybe we can get his thoughts then. Maybe we can bring him in here for just a quick 30 seconds next week before we talk about Underwater.
Okay.
Just to hear what he has to say about Monster Truck Game.
Oh, man. It led to this whole thing, and now my kid plays video games every day. It's pretty awesome. Kind of
made me
cry a little
bit.
For
me, it was Sonic the Hedgehog. That was the game that got me into video games.
Yeah, it's weird. I've tried to kind of like, hey, what about something that's not racing?
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't want anything to do with it. So, you know, there's that. I think that's it for me.
Okay.
Because after your catch up, I want to get you to watch something.
Oh, wow.
I have a link for you to watch. So, Larry, how has your week been?
So, some of the closest people on this podcast kind of know what's been going on. I'm not getting into that
That's...
I'm not wasting my energy anymore on it. I'm trying to move past it. But, like I said, if I seem off, there's just some stuff going on behind the scenes. But I'm gonna be fine. Movie-wise, I finished up my first watch ever of the Hobbit trilogy.
Oh, man, I forgot they made the second and third one.
Mm-hmm. I had heard that they weren't very good. I had heard that they were bloated. Maybe it was because my expectations were so astronomically low.
Yeah.
That I enjoyed them. The third one did feel a little long. Well, The Hobbit's like my favorite book, and I've only ever read the Silmarillion one time. It was like back when I was like early high school, middle school. It's like the lore book about the first and second ages of Lord of the Rings, like all the history and stuff. It's dense as hell. But when the Lord of the Rings movie came out, I was super into it. And The Hobbit's my favorite book of Tolkien's because I think it's just really tight. It was good. Evangeline Lilly's character was really, really cool. They touched on a lot of cool themes. I think the pacing was messed up. I do think two films would have been better than three, but it was originally
supposed to be two, right?
And I think so, from what I've looked at. Yeah. And then yesterday I watched the extended version of Fellowship of the Ring.
Oh, isn't that like 8 hours long or something like that?
It's long, yeah. But it was so great. And like, I don't know. I don't think we've had a high fantasy movie like that since then. Like on that level like top tier level done. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's been some good fantasy movies, but nothing like what's-his-face did.
Oh my
Peter
God.
Jackson.
Yeah.
Like no, nothing like not. That.
Definitely not. I'm trying to think, really. I know there's been attempts.
Oh, absolutely.
But I don't think they've ever like succeeded in the same way that that has.
We finished up our MCU rewatch. All we have left is Spider-Man Far From Home, and we are three episodes into WandaVision.
How is it?
I have no idea because I blocked out that on like social media, so I can't see it. However, I did find the homages to the old American sitcoms fun. I really enjoy that because I watched those growing up. And that's really, it's been really good. But we have like six episodes left, so after Devin finishes up work today, we're probably gonna finish that up.
Binge it, yeah.
Now,
how do you think that movie or that show would fare for somebody who, say, hasn't watched many MCU movies? Like myself.
In this current moment?
Yeah.
If you're into, like, goofy, off-the-wall storytelling and you're aware of who Wanda and Vision are, you might actually like it. Because they're, like, 30 minutes long.
Oh, yeah. Maybe I will.
And, like, I'm only three episodes in, but as of right now, like, I think this is almost meant to, again, I don't know this because I haven't watched it all, but I'm getting the feeling it's almost meant to like jumpstart Wanda's character going into phase four or whatever Marvel's doing.
Okay. Yeah, I completely lost the plot on MCU movies a long time.
So basically, I think this is setting her up in a world post Thanos.
Okay.
Same thing with Winter Soldier and Falcon. I think that show is meant to set those two characters up in a world post-Thanos.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, just use these like quick seven, eight-episode shows to, like, this is our character, this is what was happening with them, this is where they're going into this next round.
Yeah.
Besides that, I haven't watched a whole lot. Barely been reading. I have been playing Bravely Default, but it sounds like just barely a little more than you. It's like, before I go to bed, I'll try a boss fight out. But the biggest and happiest personal news that I have is that Monday morning I get my vaccine.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, we don't know if it's going to be the Johnson & Johnson one shot or one of the other brands that are two shots. I'm hoping it's a Johnson & Johnson one, but to me, it just makes me feel better about going to work. Makes me feel better coming home with Devin after being in the hospital. And honestly, to me, like, once you get the vaccine, once your system gets going, like, that means you can go back to normal. Like, still be respectful, wear masks and stuff, but, like, yeah, the vaccine is, like, 97% effective against getting sick.
Damn.
Like that means, like, to me, what that means, it means I can, like, go to the gym and not have to wear a mask. I can actually just go to the gym and just take a mask off and just kind of relax a little bit there, be more calm. I can.
Now, do you think, I don't know what your, like, state is like right now with its, like, mask bylaws and stuff, but I know, like, here, everywhere you go, you have to wear a mask or they can kick you, basically. How do you think that they would feel if you went in without a mask? Like, you know what I mean?
So right now, inside the gym, the apartment complex that me and Devin go to, you don't have to wear a mask in the gym. I do because it's the right thing to do.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure how they would feel. But this is the part of this is the part that, like, gets me the most upset, is that based on science, anybody who knows anything about vaccinations and science is once you get that vaccine, you're good. You personally are good. Other people might be at risk, but you are good. So if you're trying to get a population to hurry up and take this vaccine, and President Biden has said that he will have a vaccine ready for all adults in America by the 1st of May who want one.
Yeah.
You incentivize people getting that vaccine because there are some crazy people who think vaccines are going to give you 5G and grow antennas and wings and a tail. Like, I have no idea.
And the government's going to track you, and they post it on Facebook, yeah. I think, right?
Something like that. And it's like if it's just mind-boggling. Like, if you want people to do it, say, like, once you get the vaccine and you wait the, like, 2 weeks for it to kick in, you're good.
You don't have to wear a mask. Yeah,
like, go back to normal. Like you're good now. Like, that's how you promote. Like, that's a very easy positive incentive, and, like, telling people that once you're vaccinated, you only have small groups with other vaccinated people. That's part of my life. That's fucking stupid. Like, if you're vaccinated, you can hang out with 9,000 vaccinated people. Because guess what? You're all vaccinated. Like, it's just dumb. It's bad science. And with so much misinformation and, like, just bad posturing by so many people, like, we need to be honest about what's going on. Like, these vaccines are a miracle. It is a miracle of modern science that it happened. And I couldn't encourage anybody to get it as fast as they possibly can, because it is fantastic. And if you want to return to, I don't think we should ever go back to normal, but if you want to return to a more recognizable way of living, just get the vaccine and then wait 2 weeks and go to a ball game or go to dinner if you haven't, because you're fine now. Like, the storm has passed.
Damn, yeah, you're lucky. I think I have to wait until, like, there's some things I'm trying to figure out. Hopefully I might be able to get in by the end of next month.
Well, I can tell you that here in Ohio, at least, it's at 50 and older, unless you're in different professions or whatever. But at certain drugstores, at 3:30 is when they stop doing appointments, but they already have all the vaccine pulled out, and they can't re-thaw it. So a lot of it's a lot of pharmacy places, if you go there at 3:30 and say, like, I would like any leftover vaccine if you have it, I've had several friends do that. And Devin plans on doing that, too, after tax season's over, just to get in and get it done.
Damn, yeah, no, that's – here it is, like, I think we're still at, like, 75 and older. Like, we are still
lagging. I mean, and, like, I have different feelings on it. Like, I think scientifically – like, doing it, tranching it out through the elderly first and going down because they're most at risk is the right move.
Yeah.
There's a big part of me that thinks we should have given it to the essential workers, the people who literally worked every single day out there, like at the grocery store people or like gas station attendants, like these people who were out there nonstop who kept things going when it got really bad. Like there's a part of like the social me that thinks like, I understand the old people are more at risk, but how will we just keep them locked up for a few more months and like actually thank these people who risk themselves for all of us?
Oh yeah, and I mean there's a lot of people, like I remember one, like there was a grocery store worker like around me that like kicked off this whole like holy shit thing because he was like 30 and died.
Yeah. And that's what I'm saying, like it's very rare. Most people who die from COVID are like 70-ish and older with like some other comorbidity that comes with age.
Yeah.
But like, I don't know, like scientifically the best way to do it is you get the people who are most at risk first and then go from there.
Yeah.
But the person in me who wants to see like actual like equitable justice done, it's like give it to the people who were actually out there and at risk for so long. We didn't even give them a pay raise. We gave them a couple checks here in America. I know in Canada you guys take care of people a little better.
Oh yeah, like, they got a pay raise.
I don't know. But whatever. Honestly, in my heart, it seems like Canada's rolling out a little slower. Yeah. But I think by August, I think in America, at the very least, any adult who wants a vaccine will have a vaccine. And I think we'll probably be back to a more recognizable society.
I can't wait. Let me tell you, I cannot.
I want to go to a rock concert. I was telling Devin, like, because I had a beer last night, which is the first time in a long time I've had a beer. But I was telling them, I want to go listen to Korn with a cold beer and a crowd of people pushing, and maybe even I'll finally go out into the mosh pit. Like, I want that now.
Yeah.
but yeah, so you said you have a trailer you wanted to show me or something before we get into Lake Placid.
Have you seen the trailer for Them?
Ants?
No. I just sent it in the chat there. And tell me when you're ready to start, and I'll start it as well.
Oh, this is a advertisement for Good Lawn Care.
Oh. Do they do a good job?
Okay. See, I'm at 00. It's a Prime Video on my screen.
Perfect. You give me a 3, 2, 1, and I'll hit play.
Will the audio be in the
I downloaded the audio for it, and I'll just toss it.
I shouldn't have never doubted you. I should have just known you took care of it. All right, 3, 2, 1. Like a circle in a spiral, like a wheel within a wheel, never ending or beginning, but never spinning. Oh, she's from like a snowball down a mountain. That girl was familiar too. She was terrifying.
She like is a cancer's turning.
There you go. Thank you. That's who she is. Like a clock whose hands are sweeping as minutes out of space. And the world is like an apple whirling silently in space. Like the circle that you find in the windows of your Vina Waith. I'm getting some Stepford Wives vibe right now. What you gonna do? What you gonna do? Like I have to get Amazon. I have to get Amazon Prime again.
All right, that's what I said. It's
That little minstrel show creepy shadow guy at the very end is
he sold it. He's the one that
unpleasant.
Sold it really, yeah.
Oof, that was Them. It's coming to Amazon Prime April 9th. It's a new TV show. It looks like it's produced by Lena Waith, and she is fantastic. Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that. I want to show Devin that. That is something creepy.
Yeah, it kind of gave me nightmares the other night because I was like, oh, this looks cool. I'll watch that.
Fucking, I thought maybe it was like a modern retelling of like the Them Ant movie we watched.
I saw Them in the title. I was like, oh, man. I wonder. But no, it's...
All right. And then bad. Justin is about to play the music getting us into the main topic. But... Yes. I'm asking our listeners, stick around for the very end. I know most of you do. There is a ginormous announcement coming at the end of the episode that you don't want to miss. I am telling you, stick around for the end. This is not a tease, really. It's more just like you want to hear what has to be said at the end. So, Justin, go ahead. Absolutely. Let's get into Lake Placid. So, Lake Placid is a 1999 American horror film written by David E. Kelly and directed by Steve Miner. But first, this episode is brought to you by Shannon, one of our patrons. This was her fourth film entry. Thank you for being a patron. And honestly, I think this was a good addition to this interesting season.
Interesting is a way to put it.
All right, so David E. Kelly was the writer. David E. Kelly has an amazing career. He's written on shows such as L.A. Law, Chicago Hope, The Practice, Ally McBeal, Boston Public, Big Little Lies, Mr. Mercedes, like a lot of shows. And he's also one of the very few screenwriters who has had shows on at all four times on ABC, CBS, Fox, and NBC.
Oh, damn.
That is your screenwriter.
Yeah, I was going to say, I actually recognized the director.
Exactly, Mr. Steve Miner. Good job. Yes. He was our director. He directed Friday the 13th Part 2, Friday the 13th Part 3, Warlock, Halloween H2O 20 years later, one of my favorite Halloween films. We haven't gotten to it yet. He directed Day of the Dead. And in TV, he worked on The Wonder Years, Dawson's Creek, and Smallville. Again, damn, not a shabby resume.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord. Okay. So, oh, man,
he was the director of the bad Day of the Dead.
I guess I haven't seen many. Remember, zombies is not my forte.
Oh, no. Yeah, no. Okay. Yep.
Okay. This was the first installment in the Lake Placid film series. If you were to guess, Justin, how many Lake Placid films do you think there are?
Well, firstly, I'm surprised that there's more than two by the sounds of it. I'm going to say four.
There are six.
Six.
There's Lake Placid. Of course. Lake Placid 2, which came out in 2007, almost 10 years later. Lake Placid 3 came out in 2010. Lake Placid, The Final Chapter, came out in 2012. Lake Placid versus Anaconda came out in 2015. And Lake Placid Legacy came out in 2018.
Oh, very recent. Have you seen any of
these? No. This film has a kick-ass cast.
Like, stellar cast.
Like, one of the best overall well-rounded casts we've had on this show, probably. It stars Bill Pullman. Everybody's going to recognize him probably easily from Independence Day as the president. Yeah. But he was in Casper, Spaceballs, Sleepless in Seattle, While You Were Sleeping. Like, he's just a very recognizable actor.
Yeah.
It stars also Bridget Fonda, although her roles are probably less notable than that, less like in the pop culture zeitgeist. She was in Godfather Part 3. She was in Single White Female. But she is the daughter of Peter Fonda, who was one of the great American actors, and the niece of Jane Fonda, and the granddaughter of Henry Fonda. So she comes from this line of amazing actors and actresses.
Yeah.
We also have Oliver Platt. I think he is the kind of... I look at Oliver Platt like the kind of actor who you recognize, but you never know his name.
He always kind of plays that, like, background or, like, side character.
Mm-hmm. But he was in films such as Flatliners, which is a really funny movie if you ever get a chance to check that out. He was in, let me give you the best ones, A Time to Kill. He was in Dr. Doolittle, Simon Birch. Oh, my God. If you want to cry, throw on Simon Birch. It's based on the book Prayer for Owen Meany. If you ever want to get a good cry in, Oh, boy. He voiced Hades in Wonder Woman. I'm guessing this is, yeah, an animated movie. I was going to say, I don't think he was Hades in the newest one. But yes, and then he's been in some TV shows too. He was in Nip Tuck, and I think most recently he's on the show Chicago Med, which I haven't watched, but it's like a procedural. Yeah, Brendan Gleeson is also in this movie. He plays the sheriff of the small town. Brendan Gleeson has been on this show before, Justin. Do you know what movie?
Oh, man. Oh, yeah, he's the dad in 28 Days Later.
Great job. Yeah. Yes, he is an amazing actor. He was also Alistair Moody in the Harry Potter films. He was in the Ballad of Buster Scruggs, Braveheart, Gangs in New York, Kingdom of Heaven. He's just an amazing, amazing, amazing actor. And he actually won an Emmy in 2009 for playing Winston Churchill. And he's the father of the two sons, Domhnall and Brian Gleeson. Domhnall, probably the most recognizable. He was in the ginger character in Ex Machina.
Oh, I haven't seen Ex Machina yet.
Oh,
we haven't gotten there.
Oh, Justin is so fantastic. I'm not done. Betty White's in this movie, too. Yeah. And I'm not going to explain Betty White, although I will say my favorite role that she ever played was in the a movie which with an actress who I hate for some reason. I can't explain why. The Proposal with Sandra Bullock and Ryan Reynolds. She's in that movie. And then in a very, very small role, we have Mariska Hargitay. I think that's how you say her name. I've actually never said it out loud before. But she plays Olivia Benson in Law & Order SVU.
I don't watch TV.
Well, Law & Order SVU is like a really long-running show. And she plays the main character in it.
Who does she play? Does she play the, like...
Olivia Benson, a cop. The female cop. And she's been the, the head of that show for a long time. The music was done by John Ottman, and he did a couple of movies that I do think you'll recognize, Justin. The Usual Suspects.
Yeah.
The Cable Guy.
Oh, fucking love The Cable Guy.
Halloween H2O 20 years later.
Okay.
Bubble Boy.
Oh, man, I haven't seen that movie in years.
X2. House of Wax. Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. The first Fantastic Four movie. Superman Returns.
So he's got some really ups, like, overall movie-wise. He's got some really good ones in there. Also The Other Way, too, but, you know, that's not his fault.
The budget was somewhere between $27 and $35 million. And at the box office, it made $56 million.
Man. What about the sequels? Did they have any...
I will take a very quick look. Let's see what Lake Placid Legacy has here for us. Lake Placid Legacy has no actors who I recognize. Actually, Joe Pantoliano is in it, apparently.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know who he is?
He sounds familiar.
I'm sure you've seen The Matrix.
Oh, yeah.
He's the Judas.
Yeah. Okay.
It was a made-for-TV movie. I have no money on that one. Let's see what Lake... If we can find someone for Lake Placid versus Anaconda. Nope. Lake Placid, The Final Chapter. Nope. These are all made-for-TV movies. Lake Placid 3. You can guess what channel they were all made on. Nope.
Sci-fi.
Lake Placid 2... Nope, those are everything after the first Lake Placid. I'm guessing Sci-Fi bought it up and decided to spin that shit out. So
decided to Sci-Fi it.
Yeah. Luckily, Justin has agreed to give me a break with all these movies coming up and do the 60-second plot summary for the patron-forced movies, which I do appreciate.
Yep.
So, Justin, I'll give you a 3-2-1, and you can tell me about Big Alligators.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know if this is going to be 60 seconds, but all right, let's go.
Okay, 3-2-1, go.
In Maine, two officers are on the lake, and one of them goes diving only to get bitten in half. This leads to paleontologist Kelly Scott and alligator pervert Hector to go to the lake to investigate. They team up with local cops and gamekeepers and go on the lake to have their boat flipped and find some eaten animals. Then a bear attacks, and then we see the giant alligator basically eat the bear one bite. So they go visit Betty White, who has been secretly feeding the alligator. The cops find out that the cops find out, and then the perv gets attacked while diving. They all then decide to drug it, and then guess what? It turns out that there's another one. They use a grenade launcher on it and kill it, and they drug the other one and bring it to an unknown location. And Betty White feeds alligator babies, and then it fades to black.
5 seconds remaining. That was pretty good. So obviously we start with plot. The first thing I have to say about plot is, in the way you described it, it's a pretty tight plot. This isn't an overly long movie. Yeah. It's like there's just a big alligator that's been growing here. Because the local wildlife researchers are trying to just do some research, they come across it. And then there's this dichotomy between whether we save the alligator or we kill it to protect people.
Yeah.
The reason why we haven't seen it before is that this lake they established really early is incredibly remote. Like, only one couple lives up on the lake, which is crazy because if there's a body of water, people will build on it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. This was like back in what, 99. So, I don't know.
However, I am going to put my issues with screenplay here.
Okay.
I don't know if the writer was attempting to do this.
Okay.
Every character in this movie is unlikable.
Absolutely.
Like, even Betty White.
Oh. Like, no, you're not going to get any pushback from me. I didn't like a single character in this whole movie.
Like, not that I didn't like them. It's like they were all, it says, it seems written to be unbearable.
Yeah, no, I know. Yeah. And I did, and for that, I did not like them.
They're all assholes. They're all, like, purposely being ignorant towards each other. Some of them are, like, overtly sexist and, like, sexual harassing. Some are just stupid. Yeah. Some are mean. Some, like, I want to put this here, too. They found new ways to combine the word fuck with another word. Like, fuck shit, I had never heard before. That was a new one.
It's the 90s, baby.
Yeah, and like, it's just crazy because I was sitting here watching this. I was like, these are all amazing actors who have been in movies that when they've acted, they have blown me away. And I'm just like,
and
what?
And then you thought to yourself, what happened?
What is going on? And like, Steve Miner, like, he does have some duds, but Halloween H2O is like one of my favorite Halloween movies. And we didn't hate part 3 as much as we hated part 2. Yeah, for Friday the 13th. And it's just incredible. This, and it's like unnaturally boring periods. It's like they tried to pull the Jaws mechanic and not show a lot of the alligator, but it just didn't work as well here, and I'm not quite sure why that is. Maybe it's because the characters all suck. Because in Jaws, we talked about, like, I know you had a problem with the townspeople, but we liked the three main protagonists. Like,
oh yeah, well, the problem is with this movie, the way I look at the characters in this movie is they are all like the townspeople from Jaws.
Okay.
Like, they're very,
but
like,
worse.
They're worse, over dramatized versions of people. And I hate it. I hate it.
Yeah, and it's just, oh my god, it's like so over the top and it's brutal.
And you're it's weird because you brought up the fact that there are boring periods. And it's so true. Like, they try to fill this in between alligator scenes with stuff that really just doesn't matter.
Like a party scene out in the middle of the woods?
Like, I get the fact that they try to justify it by saying, oh, it likes noise. Okay, why the fuck does that have to be, like, a drunken party? If you're trying to lure it here, why are you all getting drunk?
Yeah, and it's like people have died. Like,
yeah,
within, like, recent moments. Like, within, like, 24, 48 hours.
Yeah.
And it is insane. So, like, that's why it's really weird. Like, the plot itself, I do find interesting. Especially if it were to be, like, made now with care. Like, the idea of conservation versus like protection, I think there is something to be had there, but this movie does not do that. And I remember as a kid watching this. Did you watch this as a kid?
Yeah, I'm trying to think how old I would have been. Yeah,
99. I was like eight or nine, probably on VHS, yeah, when it finally came. 10,
yeah,
and. Like, I remember, like, liking this movie. I remember being scared of this movie at times. And I'll save it for how scary, but please let me forget to tell you a story of my own little, quote-unquote, Lake Placid moment, okay?
Okay.
but, yeah, this movie is not it. Like, I'm not sure if it didn't age well. Obviously, it made its money at the box office. I'm not quite sure exactly what happened. But for me, I mostly just sat there. Like, I wasn't bored at any point. Like, there's boring parts. But even in those boring parts, what we get is more development of these shitty characters.
Yeah, see, the issue for me is, like, when they go and try to do development of these characters that I already really do not like, yes. It is, like, mind-blowingly boring for me. Like, I had to try and not pick up my phone and look at it. Like, yeah, I don't know. It's just, I honestly don't know how this has gained. Like,
is there anything else you want to call? Like, is there any other like anything else you want to like talk about here? I don't even know what else to like even like go for.
No, see, that's the problem. Is like, I wish I had more to talk about here, but as I kind of talked to you a little bit about it, but like after watching the movie, I had trouble remembering parts of the movie I just fucking watched because of how boring it was.
Mm-hmm. I give it a 4.5.
I give it a 4. Glad to see we're on the same page here.
Like I said, like there is certainly worse things out there, and like I do think there are some good like foundational seeds. But the writing for this was just bad, and even amazing actors could not save the terrible writing. Cinematography. This one I kind of went back and forth on, because there are some moments that I thought, obviously, minor, watch Jaws. Like, everybody has watched Jaws.
Absolutely.
There are a lot of sequences where he tried to do that. But I never feel like he tried to emulate Jaws. Like, he didn't try to like shoot Jaws with an alligator. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which I appreciated. They keep this alligator hidden. I do think that there is a good mix of practical versus CGI, which, I mean, this is the late 90s and CGI was everywhere. So the fact that they had any kind of constraint, honestly, kudos to them.
Oh, it's not an alligator. It's a crocodile, by the way.
Oh, I apologize. I was getting backwards. I know better,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, it's okay. Me, too. I had, in my summary, I literally had alligator / crocodile. I was waiting to see what one you said, and I was just going to go with that.
Okay. It's a big, big, big toothy lizard. There are a couple of scenes that I thought were really cool. I thought when the crocodile?
Yes,
crocodile. When the crocodile pulled the helicopter like down into the water, I thought that was really interesting. I liked how they used the fish flapping to like signify like this normally very placid lake is calm, but when they get the fish get scared because the alligator's coming. I thought that was very, very interesting. And there is like a scene also in this that reminded me of the original Halloween, where she's like underwater and we see the alligator slowly emerge from the muck.
Okay, yeah.
Similar like how Michael appears in the closet. Like, there are some interesting scenes in this. The CGI isn't that great, though.
No. But I mean, that's kind of what you get for late 90s, early 2000s CGI, right? Like, it's...
The gore was on point, with the exception of the weird toe with all, like, the fuzz coming out of it. Like, I thought the gore was pretty good.
Yeah, I was actually very surprised by, like, that opening scene where he pulls the guy out of the lake and he's in half. Mm-hmm. Like,
or when the guy from, what's that movie? Space Galaxy Quest? Gets his head bit off.
Oh, see, I know him as the, isn't he the When the Fuck Did We Get Ice Cream guy?
No.
No?
No, okay. No. That actor was probably like a child, I think. I think of the same person.
Really? I'll have to look it up. But yeah, no, I know who you're talking about.
Okay, yeah. The gore is good, but also the bigger thing, too, is like, especially after coming off of watching Jaws, which we both agreed was a damn near perfect cinematic movie.
I'm still surprised by how well.
I know, me too. I was ready for some hatred. I'm so happy I ended up liking it. This is just very meh. And this movie came out 24 years later. So, like, even though they didn't emulate it, which I appreciate, and there are some good things in it, it doesn't really do anything to be better. And so, like, I'm like kind of in the middle of a road on it. How about yourself?
So I mostly agree with you. Like, I think it is. I am glad that they didn't show a lot of the alligator, crocodile, lake lizard, basically.
Lake lizard. I like that. I like lake lizard.
I think that if we saw more of it, it would have held up worse, just because, like you said, CGI in the late 90s was not in a good spot.
They were pushing it too far for what they actually could do.
Yeah. I will say I guess it was an animatronic. I'm not sure really what they used for the alligator.
I don't know, because I didn't see anything really about that. I didn't look into it too much because I didn't want to waste too much time on this movie after watching it. Yeah. It looked incredibly real.
Yeah. That's what I was going to say. Is like, I think when we do see it and it's not CGI, it looks great, but then it's also dragged down by the CGI that doesn't look good. I think that finding, like, scenes where they come across the animals in the lake was kind of cool. But like you said, it's all just kind of, it's like for every good thing that this movie does, there is like an equal and opposite bad thing that happens. And it really just kind of puts it in this weird middling space.
Exactly. That perfectly said. Absolutely. Yeah, I couldn't agree more.
I have nothing else to say. That is basically how I feel like about this whole movie. So.
I give it a 6.
I also gave it a 6. Again,
so better than half. Worse,
but yeah, yeah.
Audio. Let's talk about the score first, right away. I had totally forgotten the score of this movie. But as soon as I started watching it, I was taken back to my grandpa's basement, sitting there watching it with him on VHS. Like, I instantly recognized the score. I forgot it again until you played it.
But, that's what I was going to say.
But, yeah. Like... It was at least recognizable enough that once I heard it, it did like have like that nice like mental cue to put me back there. So it is unique. It is a unique score that at least I can recognize when I hear it, which I think is something positive.
For me, it's kind of like the complete opposite, because obviously watching the movie again, I was like, oh, this is the theme. Like, what a weird theme. And then playing it again, it's like, oh, was that the theme when I was watching the movie? I guess so. Like,
it has a little bit of like a nautical sense to it, but it's very, I don't know. Like I said, for me, it's more like at least I heard it and recognized it.
Yeah. Well, at least that worked for one of us.
Now the acting. I don't think anybody has a bad performance per se.
I honestly think this is all how they were written.
I think so, too. And I think that's because why they're all so shitty, is because they're good characters. They're just written like shit.
Yeah, because if you look at the performance of these actors in, like, 90% of their other movies, they're blowing it out of the water. They are fantastic.
And they are here, too. Like, Oliver Platt's character, even though he's, like, a little pervert, like, he's very good at being that nasty pervert. Like, he's emotional. You can see his dynamic range. Like Bill Pullman, you see that leadership that we see in Independence Day, obviously. Brendan Gleeson, you can kind of see the emotion because he's trying to protect his soldiers. But it's just, they're just written so terribly.
Like, I would almost rather have the person, well, okay, maybe not that far. I was going to say the person who wrote the characters for Ginger Dead Man in here, but they're about the same level, so.
And then, like, Betty White's character, who is obviously there for comic relief, even though the comic relief is just scattered throughout this entire movie.
Yeah.
Like, even her character, who's kind of funny, it's like, I didn't like her character, but it was funny. Like, how she talked about she killed her husband. Excuse me, I have the hiccups. She talked about how she killed her husband and stuff. And I don't know. It's just like, it's like good acting performances, but how do you weigh that against a terrible script?
Yeah, that's, I mean, I think that all I'm going to say is I think these actors in other movies do fantastic job. And I guess to a sense, they do a good job playing these like over dramatized characters here, but yeah. They're just written so bad. So like, I can't get over it.
I gave it a 4.5.
I gave it a 3. It's wild to me that you have a cast like this. Yeah. And
like I said, I was struggling with the fact that I thought the acting was good. Yeah. And recognizing the screenplay was bad and trying to balance that in my head. And then also recognizing the score, but immediately forgetting what it was. But still being able to say, oh, that's Lake Placid. All right, how scary? Quick story for you. So yes, when I was younger, my family bought this piece of land that had like a lake on it, like a farm or lake. And there was like a bunch of trees along, like one side was like a side with trees.
Yeah.
And even though, like I talked about last week with Jaws, I've always been afraid of the ocean. I've never been afraid of like lakes, swinging lakes and stuff. So I remember one time it was night and me and my buddies were out there and I was swimming. I was swimming a little bit too close to that tree line and my foot kicked something slimy and hard under the water. And I thought it was an alligator and I pissed myself. I fucking front crawled, speed swam, would have beat Michael Phelps out of that water. And like, obviously it was just like a log that had fallen in. But in that moment, I thought I was Oliver Platt and Lake Placid trying to swim for my life.
Oh man.
So this movie definitely inspired my feelings of kicking slimy things under the water and thinking lizard monster.
Yeah.
However, the jumps are incredibly telegraphed in this.
Yes, they are.
I did not forget the second alligator, but I don't even think as a child that necessarily caught me off guard because of how it's set up. It's just, like I said, it's also telegraphed.
Yeah.
The gore is pretty good. I do think the gator coming up from behind her is reminiscent of a lot of better scares in other horror films. But yeah, like overall, like this isn't the scariest thing, but it did make me piss myself in a lake when I was like 12 years old. So,
man, back to this hole. It's almost like Jaws, except for
a lot less impactful.
I feel like that's Lake Placid wrapped up right there. It's like Jaws, but a lot less.
Yes, that's the tagline. That is, I can't forget that. I'm going to type really quick because that is going to be the subtitle for this episode.
Yeah. For me personally, I mean, this movie had no effect on me. There was nothing, absolutely nothing. I think that it was all too choreographed, and I feel like if you have seen a horror movie before watching this, you can immediately tell when, oh fuck, I just threw my pen across the room. You can immediately tell when anything is gonna happen with this,
like, you're so
they
right
choreograph
man.
It so much, like they set up the shot, so like let's say a character's on screen, they are on like a third of the screen.
Mm-hmm.
And you can tell, okay, well, clearly,
like, a dude is getting his head bitten off, like, we see that coming miles away.
Absolutely.
It's just so, nothing. so obvious.
Yeah.
And yeah, like I said, like I love that quote. That is probably one of my favorite quotes out of you ever. I guess I said it first. Out of both of us, we both said it. We are a team. House Care, I gave it a 2.5.
I gave it a 2. I mean, this is just, it was nothing. I would have given it a 1, but
it got a full half least. Point for reminding me of kicking in that moment of fear. So to review the scores, for plot, I gave it a 4.5, Justin gave it a 4. For cinematography, we both gave it a 6. For audio, gave it a 4.5, Justin gave it a 3. And for House Care, I gave it a 2.5, and Justin gave it a 2. That gives it a Here's Johnny final score of a 41%. Let me scroll down, because last week we were at the top, and now we are back down closer to the bottom. It actually puts it in the bottom 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Just outside the bottom 10. It's the 11th worst thing we've reviewed.
Yep.
Right above it is Friday the 13th Part 2, which has a 44%, another Steve Miner joint. And right below it is the movie Justin just had to watch, Salem's Lot.
I never again.
We did actually get 2 emails this week about this movie. We had kind of mentioned this to Rachel when we were playing The Forest. And Kabeen just had just watched it. And we were like,
yep. Somebody had to watch it. Like,
okay, so here is our email from Rachel. Hiya, fellas. So you asked me to watch Lake Placid because I love and respect you both. I did so, and here we are. And I have so many questions, like how, also why. All right, just to get on a positive note, as someone who enjoys a When Animals Attack movie, this has the markings of a really solid entry into the subgenre. Crocodiles, especially massive ones, showing up where you don't expect them is innately scary. The late, great Stan Winston, I should mention that, creation is really impressive. Stan Winston did the creature design. I knew that too. Okay. I totally forgot. I'm sorry. Thank you, Rachel, for always having my back, even when you're not here. Even the CGI, by 99 standards, is pretty great. The kills, all 2 of them, are delightfully gruesome. Seriously, how is it possible there wasn't more kills than this? I mean, that campground was crawling with red shirts, well, Sheriff Brown shirts, but you know what I mean, and yet only 2 kills. Next up is the cast, which is pretty stacked too for 99. Oliver Platt, Bridget Fonda, and Bill Pullman were essentially household names. Definitely B+, A- stars, all talented actors, and yet... Okay, but here's the strangest part of this whole movie, the writing. Yes! See, this is why we love Rachel. Listen, I remember, 99 is not exactly a feminist utopia, but the sexual politics in this movie are wildly regressive. The scientist never actually does any science, but instead spends the movie being thrown off boats, cars, and helicopters. That is when she isn't whining about bugs, her out-of-control love life, or fending off period jokes. Oof, y'all, oof. It's like the script wasn't written so much as created in some chauvinist Mad Libs book. Also, Oliver Platt says he wants to mate while doing this white boy shuffle, and a grown-ass woman just jiggles obligingly. I rest my case. On the other hand, the croc was pretty sweet. So with that, I'll leave you with some wise words from a great and wise woman, Dame Betty White herself. Later, Officer Fuck Meets. Like I said, there were a lot of weird combinations with the word fuck in this movie. Then we also got an email from Randy. And he says, hi, Larry and Justin. Wow, where to start with this movie? If I had to list all the thoughts and emotions I have while watching it, we'd be here long enough for a hatchling to grow up into a 30-footer. It really hit me that what I was in for when they revealed the movie doesn't really have anything to do with Lake Placid. When a film can do that to its viewer, all bets are off. I'm not sure if you know this, but there's a Lake Placid, New York. Like an actual Lake Placid.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I did not know that.
This is not that lake.
Okay.
There are 2 things about Lake Placid that will probably stick with me the most. The first is how it was able to generally shock me with how swift, gruesome, and convincing its far too few kills are. Like I said, after that title twist, I should have seen that coming. Or rather, I shouldn't have. Anyway, the second thing that struck me was Betty White's Mrs. Bickerman. Again, I was totally caught off guard. For me, she was going to forever be ranked up there with the most memorable movie characters of all time, horror otherwise. Also, does she technically qualify as a supervillain? Okay, yes. So I cheated. Here's the third thing I remember. Oliver Platt's rambling dream story. Like I said, all bets were off. This movie could go anywhere, even the subconscious of a misogynistic crocodile hunter. But probably the biggest surprise, if it if it it had for me was that ended up kind of liking it, warts and all, or I guess in this case, scales.
Wow.
Just, this was just, thank you both. Thank you, yeah, Shannon, for recommending it, because it was an interesting movie, especially, I'm really, really happy that I did end up pairing it with Jaws, because I think it's a really good companion, like, the dichotomy.
Oh, absolutely.
But like Rachel said, man, the writing in this is just shit. Capital S shit. Yeah, we're going to give you a commercial from the member podcast of Kaleidoscope Media Network. We're going to get into the closing, reveal our big announcement, and head on out of here.
Ghosts, split souls, monsters, sociopathic villains, cold-blooded murders, and nightmares becoming reality. Does this sound like horror to you? Actually, these are all things that can be found in the Harry Potter series.
It can be scarier than you might think.
I'm Katie.
And I'm Audrey.
And on our podcast, Wizard Studies, we talk about all these parts of the wizarding world and even some more lighthearted stuff.
We can be found anywhere you listen to your podcasts and on Instagram and Facebook as Wizard Studies Podcast and Twitter as Wizard Studies.
Now back to your regularly scheduled horror talk on Here's Johnny.
All right. So I think it has probably become apparent to most people who listen to this podcast that Kaiju has been a bummer.
Yeah.
I think we started off pretty well looking at the origins of the giant monster movies. Like, I do think, like, King Kong and Godzilla and them, and even Hosts. I think those were, like, those were even Birds. Like, I think, like, movie-wise, we are getting some good films. Not necessarily super scary, but we're definitely seeing Kaiju, right? The giant monster theme. I don't think movies has really been the problem. I think games we tried, and I
have some ideas for if we come around again to Kaiju.
Yeah.
I think I, because the issue is I was trying to go by Kaiju standards, and I think that is
it's hard. I think we might need to go back and revisit it, and maybe like almost rephrase it as when creatures attack. Because I think that would fit a little better. I think Rachel's description was a little bit better of that. However, this was supposed to be like this because of, especially when we added Saw and having more patrons, which we're very grateful for, this season kind of got bloated.
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
So Justin and I talked. And I have to give credit to Shannon because she brought it to my attention, even though you've been thinking about it. We sliced the shit out of this season. Instead of it being done in like late August, we're going to be done with Kaiju by the end of June.
And that's with the 6 week Saw.
Yeah, and that's with our like 6 weeks of Saw and the 1 week of Resident Evil Village. Yeah. So we obviously are keeping all of our commitments to patrons. Like, that was the first thing. Those were not touched. Things that will be left on the drawing room table to be revisited maybe at some point, but just not now because we want to get onto something different. The Sinking City, the video game, which I just bought off of Walmart. Cloverfield, Shin Godzilla, Colossal, Jurassic Park, Tremors, and the 98 Godzilla film.
Yeah.
Again, those would have been fun. I honestly think all of those would have been fun reviews. I do think those are movies worth watching, even if you're just watching it for a chuckle. But we want to get through this done. So we have Underwater next week, which is Rachel's forced entry. Then we have Arachnophobia, which might actually get an 11. We'll see how that goes.
Oh man, we're getting close to that, huh?
Yes, we are. We are going to do Godzilla versus Kong as kind of a wrap up of those two big kaiju monsters, since we dropped off a lot of the back stuff of that. And don't forget that Matt is writing blog posts about some of these films over on the heresjohnny.com webpage. We have the Guyver, which is Ginger's fourth entry. We have our Saw mini season kind of buried in here. We have Death Stranding, which is patron Ginger's forced episode entry, which I just installed and I'll probably start next week because I've heard it's massive.
Yeah, if I get a chance, I might start it the day before this episode comes out on Sunday.
Yeah, probably at the end of May, you will be seeing a Twitter poll going up for deciding the patron forced entry.
Yeah, for the crappy movie.
Which is between Arachnequake, Velocipastor, Mega Shark versus Crocosaurus, Attack of the Killer Tomatoes, Thanksgiving, and Ghost Shark. Oh, Lord God.
Oh, boy.
We are going to have an episode of a discussion based of Can Kaiju Be Scary?
That's been a very...
Might be able to drop that because I think we've kind of answered that question.
Yep.
And we're going to end it with a season wrap-up, which will also include the Dark Souls 3 Twitch thank you review. And next season is... Whoops, I messed up, and Justin, through the magic of editing, corrected me there. You guys aren't going to find that out for a long time, and patrons will find out first because they have to give us their entries. But yeah, I have had fun with the movies. The games have taxed me. And
I just
can't stay in this that much longer. I want to be scared, and I feel like even with Jaws, which I know, like, I talked about it, like, for Jaws, for me, the reason why it was so high is because I have never gone in the ocean past my knees, and it's because of a movie. Like, that's impactful. Like, Halloween scares me, but I still babysit, right? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I'm happy about this.
Yeah. See, like, for me, it's I have enjoyed... I can say for the most part, I've enjoyed the games. Like, we have had Dino Crisis and Dark Souls and Silent Hill, but that's its own thing.
Yep.
But the problem with the games and movies this season is they haven't, to me, been, like, scary.
Like, in the same genre of, like, the scary stuff.
Yeah. And it's... I don't know. I'm itching to get back to scary.
And I think the next thing we chose will do that.
Absolutely.
Especially because we've been talking a little bit about it. We already knew what the next one was going to be. But we had never actually put pen to paper to make our selections. I think we've got something special coming.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now, not to like tease it or anything, but yeah, it's going to be an intense season.
Yeah, and so I'm very excited. So again, next week we have another patron force entry from Rachel. It's Underwater, which came out last year. It stars K-Stu. I've never seen it before. Have you seen it before?
I have not.
Okay, so first time watches for both of us. Justin, any last thoughts before we get out of here?
I'm excited to move on to the next season already, even though that next season is kind of like a Saw mini season. I'm so fucking excited for Saw. That's going to be great. I'm going to have so much fun.
I think Rachel's
fun,
excited,
I'm sorry.
Too.
Well, and I feel bad for, like, because I know that you, myself, and Mars have all seen it. I feel bad for Rachel, though.
We all have to go on this journey at some point.
Yeah.
So, guys, with that, make sure you're keeping your feet out of water you can't see through. Might be a big monster. Big toothy lizard under the water.
Lake lizard, you know.
Lake lizard, thank you. And until next time, stay scary. The Here's Johnny podcast is brought to you by Larry and Justin. You can find the show on Twitter at Here's Johnny Cast, and you can find Larry at Beaver LA.
You can find Justin at Pickle Thing, and you can email the show at heresjohnnypodcast@gmail.com. You can look us up on Facebook at Here's Johnny Podcast.
As always, in the show notes, you can find links to the Discord and to the website. We are also on Instagram at heresjohnny_podcast.
Also in the show notes, we'll have a link to the Twitch and YouTube channels. And if you would like to support the show, you can head on over to patreon.com/heresjohnnypodcast. Every cent goes into the show. And yeah, we just really use it to make the show better. Again, I just want to say thank you very much to our patrons. You guys help make this possible.
But yeah, Patreon is the way we support the show. We aren't looking to get rich. And like Justin said, every dollar, every cent, it all goes back in. There's some pretty cool tiers. So head on and look at that.
But until next week, see you guys later.